Okay, I'm glad to be the last one. So today I'm going to talk about my recent result on the bootstrap the lattice Young Mu theory together with my supervisor, Vladimir Kazakov, who is a real expert in integrability and matrix model and who teaches me a lot in this project. So bootstrap is one of the most early abused terminology. For example, in the computer science, it refers to a framework in the web development. So in the context of modern physics, bootstrap method usually means that we use optimization theory to solve the problems in the theoretical physics. For example, this is a kind of optimization theory. So this is a common pattern of the optimization theory that you have some constraint, which is hopefully it is convex. And then we minimize or maximize some objective function under this constraint. And this is in this pattern, because this is a linear matrix, linear semi-definite condition. So this is called semi-definite. Programming. So this is mostly this most commonest optimization problem appear in the in our bootstrap method. So of course this could be more general. For example, you have thousands of variables or thousands of constraints that will be for SDP, of course. Here, X is a column vector. And under the constraint, let's see, MI, XI, positive semi-definite. Here, MI, they are real symmetric matrix. OK, the bootstrap method today I will talk about, it is a bit different from the much more well-known bootstrap method like conformal bootstrap or S-matrix bootstrap, where in the conformal matrix bootstrap, conformal bootstrap or the S-matrix bootstrap, we are using very general constraints to bootstrap the physics problem, like the unitarity, the analyticity, or the crossing symmetry. They are very general. They are very general constraints. But here, as we will see, we are using very precise dynamical information of the physics problem to do the bootstrap. For example, we will see that we are mainly using the Schwinger-Dyson equation. Okay, to introduce this bootstrap method, let's look at a toy model first. So suppose we want to consider this model. Maybe this is x here is a variable, real variable on the real axis. This integration is from minus infinity to the infinity. So this is almost the simplest non-trivial integration you can write down. Or if you would like, this is actually a zero-dimensional phi-4 theory. So we are going to use a bootstrap to solve this problem. And our goal to solve is we want to solve WK, that is x to the k. Or if you prefer more precisely, it is 1 over z. So the bootstrap method works as follows. For the Schwinger-Dyson equation, we are just using the dual infinitesimal shift, x to the x minus epsilon. And then we take the, all the terms that is linear in epsilon. So it must vanish. This is the Schwinger-Dyson equation. This is true for any x here, because this is just a linear term in terms of epsilon. So if you expand it, you will get let me write down the final result. Yes, this is the Schwinger-Dyson equation. So by this equation, you can solve all the higher even moment in terms of linear functions of W2, and all the higher odd moment in terms of linear functions of W1. So I remind you that here W0 equals 1. So you can, I think this is obvious. So another observation is that the global symmetry, that WK equals 0 for K equals K odd. This is obvious due to the symmetry of the integration. But this is, you cannot derive this condition from the Schwinger-Dyson equation. So, but with these two conditions, we cannot solve the W2 because, well, we have some additional conditions to fix it. That is, auditivity condition. We notice that the square of any polynomial integrated over against the measure or the action, it is must be positive. This is of course true. This must be true for any alpha, the Coulomb vector. So this expression is actually a quadratic form in terms of alpha. Alpha t, let's see, m alpha larger than 0 for any alpha. By definition, this means, okay, forget about it. We will use slice polling later. So this is equivalent to the condition that M is positive semi-definite. What is the M here? M is a matrix here. I can write it down for you. This is a matrix of actually the inner product. So this is X, X square, and for the column, this is W0. Yeah, this is M. It is an infinite dimensional matrix. So we notice that all the elements of the matrix due to the Schwinger-Dyson equation, they are linear functions of W2. So actually, we already formulate the problem in terms of SDP here in this form. So we can take a truncation of this positivity matrix. Let's see. We can put a truncation of M lambda, which is lambda plus 1 times top submatrix on the top left corner. This is, for example, this is M2. So under this constraint, since M is positive semi-definite, M lambda must be positive semi-definite. This is by definition. So we can do the bootstrap, sorry, minimization or maximization W2. I remind you, W2 is all invariable here, such that M lambda is positive semi-definite. Okay, this finished the bootstrap. This is the SDP, the semi-definite programming. And we can solve it very efficiently, up to arbitrary precision in very short time. So how is the result? I can show you the result here. For G equals 1 and lambda equals 10, the result is okay, in the middle, this is the exact result, because for this problem, obviously you have the closed form solution of W2, that is in terms of modified Bessel function. And on the left-hand side, this is when you are taking the minimization here under the constraint. And on the right-hand side, this is maximization here. So here, I would like to say that you got approximately 5.5 digits when lambda equals 10. So this is highly non-trivial, of course. And we have a curve for it. Okay. So this is for different G, the allowed region for the, this is when you are maximizing W2 and minimizing W2, you will find there is some allowed region, that the allowed region is quickly shrinking to the analytic region result. And you, okay, this almost finish my presentation of this toy model. I have some final remarks here. The first one is justification. Almost everyone first time see this method, the most important question is why this method works at all. So the answer here is that the positivity condition here, it basically tells you that, not basically, through some result of Hamburger momentum problem, this condition is equivalent to that you are doing the integration on the real axis. I can explain it this way. And the Schwinger-Dyson equation, it tells you the information about your action. So this is one-to-one correspondence. By the Schwinger-Dyson equation, you know what your function, which function you are doing the integration. And by the positivity condition, you know where you are doing the integration. So suppose we are not doing it from minus infinity to infinity. For example, we are doing the 0 to infinity, then we have an additional positivity condition, actually. So this is why it works. So the second one is maybe the generalization. Another point is how far can this method go? That mean, here, I want to say that from our experience, although we don't have a rigorous proof, as long as you are doing some integration over a finite number of variables, you can always get a nice result. I mean, the result is, it seems always unique and you are always converging to the result you want, as long as you give the enough positivity conditions. But it seems, if you have infinite number of degree of freedom, which is physically interesting, sometimes this is not the case. By this, I mean sometimes there is some spontaneous symmetry breaking that even for this model itself, it has multiple solutions. For example, for the easing, you have the spin up and the spin down when you are below the critical temperature. So both of the solutions, they are allowed solution of the system. And for the symmetry breaking, I can make another comment that is, here, you are assuming the global symmetry here. But for physics problem, sometimes our global symmetry is spontaneously symmetry breaking. So you may doubt whether this condition it is right here. I mean, for more interesting problem. So the result is, if you don't assume W1 equals zero, if you don't assume, then your problem, it will have two variables, W1 and W2. Then you can also do the bootstrap and bootstrap W1. W1 is some measure in terms of how much the symmetry is broken. I mean, the Z2 symmetry in this model. So what is the result? The result is W1. Yeah, also under this condition, you will get W1 is absolute value. Of course, the minimization, you will get the minus of this value. So you see that the numerical bootstrap, actually, it knows the preservation of the global symmetry. I mean, for a less trivial case, when we have an infinite number of degree of freedom, if you get, let's say, W1, they are not constrained by this tight bond, but let's say W1 smaller than maybe 1.4, then this will be a very strong indication that there is actually a symmetry breaking, spontaneously symmetry breaking here. So by this way, you can detect the phase of the model. Okay, so this is this finished the presentation of the toy model. Anyone has any questions? Yes.
I want to make sure what you said about the generalization. Did you mean for discrete symmetry breaking there's no problem, but for continuous symmetry breaking there may be a problem?
Any symmetry could be broken. I mean, if you are for any model you are considering, as long as it has infinite degree of freedom, there is a possibility that the global symmetry is broken, right? So for this case, what is the measure of the how the global symmetry is breaking? It is W1. Or in the easy model, it is the expectation of sigma, right? The sigma easy the M field. So you can bootstrap that value to see whether the symmetry is broken. I mean.
I mean, for the generalization, for the second that if there are infinitely many degrees of freedom,
yes,
it may not be generalized.
No, it can be generalized, but it depends on your assumption. You can assume the global symmetry or not. If you don't assume the global symmetry, then you can bootstrap the how much you can go away from the global symmetry. Yes. It seems for this model, it is unlikely to be broken from the numerical result.
Well, it has to be, presumably all solutions of what identities correspond to an integration contour. So if the solution of what identities you choose positive definite, then probably has to have the integration contour where the variables are real.
Sorry?
So the case of solutions of Schrödinger is an equation as an equation, right? Is in one part correspondence in the fact that the case.
Yes.
Integration contours.
Which kind of integration?
Complexified variables.
Oh, you mean we are not choosing the integration contours on the real axis?
Yeah.
Yes, for different integration contours, you have a different positivity condition, actually.
Yeah, you will not have any positivity condition.
Yeah, in some cases, the positivity conditions is not easy to write down. But for the case we are interested, usually we can write down such positivity conditions. For example, the for the case that is minus infinity to infinity, of course, the unit circle, of course. See, it is.
This point you could have integrated along the imaginary axis and then gone to the real axis. That would be a perfectly fine integration contour. It would be pretty hard.
Yeah, in that case, I'm afraid you need to split the integration into two parts. Let's say, and transform all the integration into the, let's say, zero to infinity integration and sum it up.
But you probably wouldn't get positivity constraint.
Oh, sorry?
You would have to find, if you could find the functions whose square is positive along this, that doesn't seem natural.
Yes, yes, I agree. Sometimes this is not trivial. Yes.
No, I was just trying to say that this in the finite dimensional case,
mm-hmm.
every solution of what of Frankenstein's and equations, I think, correspond to an integration contour. The I mean, homology class of integration
mm-hmm.
contours.
Mm-hmm.
Then so the positivity constraints that you're imposing kind of requires the contours to be on the real axis, I think.
So
we just need to know in the infinite dimensional case what would the exception be.
For the infinite dimensional case,
yes.
What the positivity conditions will be?
Even in the infinite dimensional case, think about
mm-hmm.
And give a meaning to the space of solutions related to equations, presumably, as well to the space of integration contours for the path integral. I was just saying, which is it'd be curious that there are solutions which satisfy positivity
mm-hmm.
And which are not corresponding to integration with the real axis.
Maybe I didn't hear you. Okay, we can discuss later. Yes.
Can I ask a somewhat related question? So, for example, if you want to bootstrap some parameter which is not real, and for example, you have some real power plus some IR sort of things, would you set up a positivity conditions for those kind of
Sorry, could you repeat? You have a.
I want to bootstrap something which is not real. It's sort of like complex.
Yes.
For example, it can have some real parts plus IR.
Yes. There is such situations, but it depends on the problem. When there is sign problem, the setting up of the positivity conditions it could be complicated. For the cases we are considering Q now, it seems it is fine. Yes. Apparently it is exponential convergence, but it seems faster than exponential convergence. It's something like a polynomial times exponential. Yes. But you will see that when you are increasing the order, the computational resource you need to do this kind of bootstrap is also increasing exponentially. Yes. Okay, so this is basically this method. And there is already a lot of bootstrap results using this method. That, for example, the matrix model, I will discuss very briefly later. And the quantum system that is using this SDP trick to bootstrap the quantum lattice model in the condensed matter physics. And also some less well-known results, they are not called bootstrap in their paper. This is by Hastings bootstrapping the SYK model. And also the classical dynamical system. There is also someone using this SDP trick to bootstrap the classical system. And at last, the lattice models. Yeah, the result bootstrapping the lattice gauge theory and recent result on bootstrapping the lattice EC model. let's look at the bootstrapping the matrix model first, because this is pretty easy and it goes exactly parallel to the bootstrap of this toy model. So this model, to the best of our knowledge, it is not solvable. This is characterized by two matrix model. The two matrix A and B, they are Hermitian matrix and in the larger limit. Here H and G, when they are not vanishing, this is called commutator square plus quartic. This model is, to the best of our knowledge, it is not solvable. So we will use the bootstrap method to solve it. This is a comparison. So for the toy model, we have go through it. Everything is clear. And the result is convex. But for the two matrix model here, the observable, instead of the powers, we have the words of the A and B, because matrix, they are not commutative. And the action, it is quartic plus commutator square. I have just shown it. I show it again to you, that commutator square plus quartic for both A and B. And for the equation of motion or the Schwinger-Dyson equation, I will show some example. It is a loop equation. And also the symmetry, the positivity, and the convexity, I will show. So this is the Schwinger-Dyson equation for this model. You can do the variation on both A variable and B variable. I must notice you that it is not a linear equation. It is quadratic due to the large N factorization. That when you are doing some Schwinger-Dyson shift and some single trace operator, it will break into double trace operator. Then this double trace operator, through the large N factorization, it will again be product of a single trace operator. So at this level, there is only one quadratic term, that is beta equals trace A square. This is, for example, up to cutoff equals 4. That is, we are setting a L max equals 8 on all the length of the words. These are all the loop equations. And the positivity conditions looks like this one. That is, you are taking inner product with words of matrix A and B. They are Hermitian conjugation, and you get such this matrix. It is positive semi-definite. Yeah, for this non-convex, that is a quadratic term. I will discuss it later. By some tricks of relaxation, we can deal with it. Here for this model, here I just want to show the result, because this model, this kind of large N Hermitian matrix model, it is. In somehow, this is where the bootstrap method works the best. This is the result. Here, T2 and T4, this is trace A square and trace A to the fourth. And lambda here, for example, lambda equals 11, which is our best result, which means that when we consider all the moments of words under the length 22. So you see, when we are taking into account more and more operators, the allowed region for trace A square and trace A to the fourth, it is quickly shrinking to the exact result. The exact result we don't know, but the island is shrinking very fast. And at lambda equals 11, for example, G equals H equals 1, we have very tight bound. That is a six-digit result here.
But just to make sure I understand, you're building the observables by combining two adjoints. So this matrix, you take a bunch of adjoints and then you take the trace of them.
Yes, yes. So let me show. Yes, let me show you. So for example, there is W worth, word one and word two. How it is defined? It is trace of word one, dagger, word two. Yeah, this is definitely a inner product. So you have the. Yes. 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 But Actually, the Schwinger-Dyson equation on the large N level, it closed among the single trace operator due to the large N factorization. Okay, we can compare the result with Monte Carlo. This is there is a Monte Carlo study of the same model, which is done by previous postdoc researchers in parameter. And for the Monte Carlo study, it takes 80 hours to get 4.5 digit, because Monte Carlo, usually, it is very hard to generate a very precise result. But for the bootstrap, it is 40 hours to get the six-digit result. That is what we just showed. Actually, this is old result from the state of art setting. I'm pretty sure it will be less than 1 hour to get the same result, maybe less than 1 minute. I think this is already very conservative. So there is a lot of technical improvement on this stuff after the publishment of this result.
Do you think it's possible to explore the one over n expansion?
Yes, someone did it. I'm optimistic about it. I think it is doable. For finite, let's say, bootstrap the SU2 and SU3, we are currently doing it. It is clear. There is very optimistic science about it. So for 1 over n, the bootstrap of 1 over n, I think it is possible. I'm optimistic about it.
The Schwinger-Dyson equation, you can put 1 over n correction.
Yes, yes, yes. Because we are doing some other asymptotic expansion bootstrap. I think these are pretty the same logic. It should be the same logic. What we are, another example we are considering is, for example, this model for, this is some ongoing work. That is, for W2 here, for this toy model, you can do some formal power theories expansion of it, right? Some numbers tells g to the i equals 0 to infinity. Yeah, this is a formal power theories, not convergent. But still, we can bootstrap the coefficient of it. So this is some asymptotic expansion, and we can bootstrap the coefficient. So large N is also some asymptotic expansion. So it's very hard for me to believe that it works for this kind, but not for large N. I mean, we cannot bootstrap the 1 over N expansion.
Once you know all the one-point functions, how much more work does you need? Do you need to find things like connected endpoint functions?
One point function.
So, you know, so with this bootstrap, you can find all the one point functions.
For the two, which model we are talking about?
The
two matrix model.
Yes.
The two matrix model, it is somehow zero dimensional, so there is all in one point function. Is this correct? There is no x.
Could also consider connected two-point function, right? Like Gaussian function two traces minus the product of the Gaussian function.
Oh yes, then it is in the 1 over n expansion. Then we need to we haven't done it yet, but I think we could do it.
So the three level string two.
Yes.
Then also the string theory.
Yes. Sorry?
It's okay.
Okay. Sorry, I thought you have another question. Okay, so this finished the toy model and the matrix model. So let's go to the lattice gate theory at last. So here we are going to bootstrap the large N limit of the following theory. That is just the conventional lattice gate theory defined with Wilson action here. So let me see. I think it's better to draw a plot. So for example, in 2D, here on each link, we have a unitary matrix. Let's call it U1, U2, U1 prime, U2 prime. And here, the UP here means UP here. It means U1, U2, U1 prime inverse. U2 prime inverse. Yes. So you are summing over all the block heads. This is single block head. You are summing over all the block heads. And our goal here is to bootstrap the expectation of UP here. That is basically the, I think it's a free energy of the theory, something like that. And let's compare with the plaquette model, and everything also goes in parallel. And I must notice that this result is an improvement of the previous result of Anderson and Kruczynski. We improve it by the following result, following point, that is symmetry reduction, reflection positivity, and the large N relaxation I will discuss later, and the backtrack loop equation, and some other technical improvement. So let's look at the Schwinger-Dyson equation first. That is, in this context, it is called the Makinko-McDowell loop equation. That is, suppose we are considering a Wilson loop, and we are doing the variation on the Wilson loop. Here is the result of the equation. That is, we always have the original Wilson loop times 2 times the Tohoft coupling, plus some linear variation and sometimes some nonlinear variation. Let's look at some example. This is the simplest one. That is, you are doing, this is a one plaquette. You are doing the variation on a link in 2D. Let's look at in 2D first. So in 2D, in each direction, it has a linear variation above and below. So you see, here is, this is a variation below. This is a variation above. You will verify. And plus 2 times the original Wilson loop. Here is no overlapping, so there is no nonlinear term. And this is a more non-trivial one. This is called the backtrack loop equation. That means we are still considering the one plaquette, but we are doing variation on some backtrack. This is called backtrack because this is equivalent to identity. So you will get the following loop equation. This backtrack loop equation, if there is no nonlinear term, it is linear. And perhaps the lowest order nonlinear Wilson loop, it is occurs in this case. That is, when you have an overlapping of two links in your Wilson loop, and you are doing the variation on the overlapping links, then you get some nonlinear loop equations. Well, for the positivity condition, as I just said, it depends on how many ways you can define the inner product on your space of operators or the subspace of operators. So here we can follow the original way that we take the Hermitian conjugation of the Wilson path, and we get some inner product. How it looks like? Well, the Hermitian conjugation of a Wilson path is just the reverse of it. So you go this way, the Hermitian conjugation is you go the way back. So this is the simplest possible case, that is from 0, 0 to 1, 1 in 2 dimension. So you will get 1 in the middle because of unitarity and UP in the off-diagonal term. The result is trivial, just the UP is smaller than 1, but we will see. If you go higher order, it can produce non-trivial result. And the starting point and the end point, you can vary on the space of all the lattices. It turns out the most interesting ones, they are the Wilson path that comes from zero and end up at zero. Why? Because due to the backtrack reason, actually all these higher positivity conditions that if you go from zero to any random point, it is already included in the zero to zero if you go large enough. This is a zero to zero and at the lowest order in 2D. This is a positivity matrix. So at a length cutoff 8, you are taking inner product of length 0 and length 4 Wilson path, and you get some matrix. That is, I notice you that this matrix has actually 6 inequivalent Wilson loops. These are all the Wilson loops here. And together with two loop equations we derived, that is the linear one and the, yeah, two, both of them, they are linear, that we are doing it by the variation on the one plaquette and the backtrack variation on the one plaquette. So this is the formulation. Actually, at this point, you can already get some non-trivial result. That is, when you set lambda equals 1, you will get a trivial lower bound on the plaquette. That is, this plaquette larger than 0. And it is smaller than something like 0.693. This is the lowest order result. OK, let's look at some other possibilities. That is the reflection positivity, actually. As I said, the positivity condition, it encodes the information from the mirror space. That means here, the mirror space is real axis from minus infinity to infinity. Here, we are not doing the integration over the u infinity, not on the unitary, but on a lattice of unitary matrix. So we expect that we should get more positivity conditions, because this positivity condition, it is somehow specialized to unitary or the higher mirror. Actually, this is due to the lattice structure, that is the reflection positivity. There are three kinds of reflection positivity. That is reflected by the, this is called by the link, and this is reflected by the site or under the diagonal. So reflected by the link, here I notice you that it is on the lattice grid. Let me make it larger. So this reflection plane is on the grid, and this is in the middle of the link. So they are actually different. And I notice you that it is not necessarily on the same point. Hey. Suppose this is a lattice reflection plane, and we have two Wilson loop as related by the reflection. This is O, this is theta O. This is also positive. Theta O and O, it is larger or equal to 0. Yes, this is a reflection positivity. So we have these three new kind of positivity. So we have three new positivity matrix. And here is a plot that convince you that reflection positivity, it is independent from the Hermitian conjugation here. By how? This is a 3D result, 3D lattice Yamil theory. And let's look at the orange line and the gray line. Orange line is at some given cutoff, but with reflection positivity. Gray line is at the same cutoff, but with auto-reflection positivity. You see, this is the upper bound, the lower bound. It's very clear that with the reflection positivity, the allowed region shrink by 2. The blue line is higher order, but with reflection positivity. Yeah. I will go back to this plot and explain everything. So the last one is symmetry. That is, we want to do the symmetry reduction. This is, among all the technical improvement, this may be the most important one that increases the efficiency of the problem. Because whenever we see that our method is naturally incorporate the symmetry of the model, this is a strong sign that we are on the right track. So already you may notice that in this matrix, there is a lot of zeros. So you may think that this matrix, it is, we can do some rearrangement of the moment to make it much nicer. Actually, this is true. We can do some rearrangement to make it a block diagonal, two block. One block corresponds to the even powers, and the other corresponds to the odd powers. This is the same story here. So this is just due to the group theoretical reason that you have a positivity, you have an inner product, and it is invariant under some group structure. Then your matrix can be block diagonal with respect to every irreducible representations of the symmetry group. So let's look at the symmetry group, that is the lattice symmetry. See, that two here, it always refers to the charge conjugation, that is, you are reversing the path. And the other one, the B2, for example, it is isomorphic to the dihydryl group, D4. And all this B1, B2, B3, B4, there is no very standard terminology for this group. They are called something like hyper-octahedral group. That is a discrete rotation symmetry of the lattice on different dimension. Let's look at how it works. So this is a 2D matrix. And you notice that these Wilson loops, they are multiplied when transforming under the global symmetry. So you can do some linear combinations of them to make them into the singlet or the different irreducible representations of the global symmetry. So here it is. So one, of course, is in the singlet. That is a zero dimension, zero length Wilson loop. And if you summing up all the things, this is also a singlet. And by different linear combinations, yeah, you have different result. Due to the group theoretical reason, if they are in different irreducible representations, they must be orthogonal. So you can greatly reduce the previous 9×9 matrix into a series of much simpler matrix, much simpler inequalities with this way. This is totally equivalent to the previous condition. But for the SDP, as a SDP, this is on a much lower level of complexity. In four dimension, you have a much larger group, and the group reduction, it will be much bigger. So by this way, you can improve the efficiency of the algorithm by three or four order of magnitude. Yeah, this is an example that is also at 3D. At Lmax equals 16, the matrix corresponds to this Hermitian conjugation. It has a huge size of 6,000×6,000. But after the truncation, the symmetry reduction, you have a series of much smaller matrix that is much more tractable. You have a 20 irreducible representation of the global symmetry. So you have 20 blocks, and each block, there is some positivity condition. OK, the last step, that is the relaxation. So as I said, the optimization theory, usually we want it to be convex. Generally, non-convex optimization theory, it is not solvable. I mean, large scale. It is NP hard in the computational complexity. So it is like convex versus non-convex. It is like linear versus non-linear when you are trying to solve the system of equations. So if you want to solve a linear system, it is well established. But for non-linear, well, if you have several of them, maybe you can solve it. But if you have tens of thousands of them, this is hopeless. The same situation happens for non-convex optimization problem. This condition, the quadratic condition, it is non-convex. Why? Because parabola, it is not a convex curve. But I must notice you that the interior of the parabola, it is convex. So what this means? This means that this condition, x squared equals some t1, it is not convex. But x squared smaller than t1, it is convex. Another way to say this fact is you can write this condition into a semi-definite matrix form. That is, this matrix is positive semi-definite. This is clear. This is a convex condition. And this, how this story generalized to a more non-trivial case. So we simply replace the x here from a variable to a column vector. So we introduce another matrix to denote the product of this column vector. So I remind you, this is a matrix, not an inner product, because inner product is XTX. So let me summarize. That is, we introduce new variables. Then in the place of the quadratic terms in the loop equations, then we forget these new variables. They are the product of the original variables. But they are, this time, they are subjected to some inequality condition. That is called the relaxation matrix. This is also a a semi-definite matrix. Yes. This works actually in the optimization theory. This works better than you thought. Why? Because, well, you always most of the time you get the, especially in the convex optimization, you get the optimal result on the boundary of the allowed region. So a lot of the time, the inequality here, it is saturated, so we don't really lose anything. In practice, this is not, maybe this is not fully saturated, but the result, it seems it is very close to the original result. This is an example that is L, at L max equals 12, we already have some quadratic term that is the square of the plaquette. And we just introduce this Q variable, and we demand that Q variable is subjected to the inequality here. Okay, that finished the final scheme. So we minimize or maximize the single plaquette average, or if you like, you can do any higher Wilson loops under the cutoff, or even linear combinations of the Wilson loop, or the convex functions of the Wilson loop, subject to the McKinkle-McDowell loop equation. And this is called the matrix corresponds to the Hermitian conjugation factorized with respect to the irreducible representation. And the three kind of reflection positivity matrix also factorized to the irreducible representation. But I notice you that the reflection plane, it breaks down the symmetry of the group. So here, the irreducible representation, the group, it is actually the subgroup of the global symmetry group that stabilizes the reflection plane. So this is actually a different group, a different reflection positivity matrix. And finally, the relaxation matrix to make this whole structure convex. So this is a semi-definite programming, and we can set up all the things and try to solve it. This is for 2D. This is a trivial case. And the whole plot, it is instant. We are doing the numerical simulation up to Lmax equals 16, and we get, well, the black curve, it is the exact result, because in the large N limit, it has exact result here on the below. And the yellow region, we just show that the lowest order, there is no non-trivial lower bound. And Lmax equals 12, you have the orange curve. So the exact region must be between the orange curve and the blue curve. This is Lmax equals 16. That is, in the two dimension, you are taking into account of all the Wilson loops under length 16. The same story happens in 3D and 4D. Of course, 4D case, it is more physically interesting. Yes, so let's look at, let's look at the 4D plot. Yes, so again, this is, yellow region is Lmax equals 8, orange is Lmax equals 12, blue is Lmax equals 16. The dashed line, the black dashed line is strong coupling and weak coupling perturbative expansion up to a given order. The black dashed line, this way, it is up to very high order, actually, because in this large N case, the strong coupling expansion, they are pretty easy to calculate up to very, very high order. And the weak coupling region, it is in a much more decent order. The red dot, it is SU10 Monte Carlo simulation. And the purple dot, they are the SU12 Monte Carlo simulation of much recent result. In the middle here, there is this is called a bulk transition. This is the first order phase transition here. And we have the bootstrap result. You see that in the weak coupling region, it is much closer to the exact result. Actually, in this limit, our bootstrap result, it actually goes better than the Monte Carlo result, because Monte Carlo result, it suffers a lot of the finite N contribution, because they cannot do infinite N. They must approximate large N by, let's say, SU10, or if they can do it, SU1000. So this is the result. The physically interesting region is the weak coupling region because of the bulk transition, the strong coupling region, it doesn't flow to the continuous QCD if we are in the SU3. Okay. Let me mention some future directions. The first one is a technical improvement. That means in our current framework, for example, on the upper bound, it is every point, it contains like 30 points, and every point takes 20 hours. But after some technical improvement, this can be greatly improved. Yes. We expect that we will get LMAX equals 24 in the near future. Because of exponential convergence of this shrinking area, we expect that we will get very close to the large N result of Monte Carlo, even close to the phase transition point. Because you see, this is 8, 12, 16, and 24, it should be much closer. Together with some other technical improvements. And the possible applications, for example, the first one is a finite N bootstrap. That is, we directly bootstrap SU2 or SU3. There is no real obstacle to go to the finite N. And for more ambitious result, it will be the two possible targets will be the global spectrum and the confinement. The global spectrum, both of the things, they are related with asymptotically separated Wilson loop or the asymptotically large Wilson loops. Somehow, I think it is possible that this bootstrap method still works for such case. So if we manage to do the bootstrap for this asymptotically large Wilson loops, this will be much more physically interesting. Because the UP, the one plaquette average, in the renormalization group sense, it is a UV quantity. It is, it doesn't really contain a lot of interesting physical result that we care about.
Because I know the one point function of small loops.
Yes.
I assume that the loop equations for a big loop will involve. Or loops.
Mm-hmm.
It will be like the equation for long loops of slightly different shape coefficients which are controlled by the small loops.
Yes, but actually my proposal here is you want to bootstrap the quotient of Wilson loops. You don't go to the small loops. You just do the bootstrap on the large loops.
If we were to knowing what does the knowledge of short loops buy you, maybe the knowledge of short loops already buy you.
Yes, yes, this is not clear for the moment. Yeah, for the authors of that bootstrapping the lattice easing model, actually they are doing some things that they are trying to bootstrap. Let's see, of course, in their case, it is easing model. They are trying to bootstrap the very far separated two-point function. That is, they want to reproduce. Let's say the correlation length, the exponential decay of such two-point functions. Yeah, it seems in easing this might be possible, but they don't get a concrete result till now. Yeah, but definitely this is the most significant direction if we want this bootstrap to get really get something important. Yeah, but for the currently. In the current framework, it is still possible if we can go to LMAX equals 24, because if you consider a length 24 Wilson loop, this is already a decent size. I mean, even for the current contemporary Monte Carlo. So if you really can bootstrap a very large Wilson loop just by starting from the origin, it is possible that it will give you something nice.
Question. So this is one of the infinite factors.
Yes.
the toggles.
Mm-hmm. Sorry?
I assume you could do a toggles in a similar way. Making a thermal, like producing a thermal cycle. Could you compute, could you bootstrap thermal one-point function?
Sorry, I didn't hear it clear.
Thermal one
point. Oh, thermal, that is one direction it is compactified.
Yes.
Yes, it is possible. But you have less symmetry in that case because you don't have the full rotational symmetry. You have the space direction rotational symmetry and the reflection in the time direction. It is definitely possible. But it is just some technicalities here. And in that case, in the best situation, you can bootstrap some quantities like a Polyakov loop, something like that. It is definitely possible. It is just technically a bit challenging.
Even the one-point function without doing the volume loop, the information.
Yes.
Like the difference to the finite temperature and.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Indeed. But that compactified direction, if it is not very large, like compactified direction, it is four lattice spacing. I'm 100% sure it can be done. Bootstrap the Polyakov loop. I mean, yeah. Any questions? Since there is no time remaining, I want to go to the.
So suppose that you did a bootstrap on the bootstrap that you're doing would not know the radius or the compact direction, would it? Unless the loops are big enough to explore it.
I didn't get it. What's the question?
The bootstrap technique would not know the radius.
Well, if you are go very long, there will be overlapping of the Wilson loop.
Right. Unless the.
Yes, you must go very long. Yeah, so it knows the compactified direction. So that's why I mean that I'm optimistic by the length 4 compactified direction because we can reach it. If it is too far, let's say length 20, then our bootstrap didn't reach that far. So it doesn't know about the compactified.
It means that somehow your curve and not shrink too much, right? Because if your loops are dimension L, your space would have been
plus one,
you wouldn't know it.
It is a bit tricky because in the thermodynamic situation, I mean, with a compactified direction, you have less symmetry.
Well,
Take
all directions to be the same radius.
Then I'm a bit afraid you will lose some reflection positivity.
Why?
Yeah. For example, when you have an old number of compactified direction, then I think some of the reflection positivity, the site and the link, I don't think both of them they can be correct at the same time. But I'm not very sure about this point. Yes. So on infinite lattice, three kinds they are all correct. But on finite lattice, maybe you will sacrifice one of them. Yeah, this is clear for the lattice easing model. In that case, they indeed already observed that for some finite lattice, you need to sacrifice some of the reflection positivity. Yeah. So reflection positivity, it tells you something about the infinite lattice. But not so much. It's very tiny.
Rina asked me to close out the talk.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? Let's then Zhe Chuan again.
Thanks.